Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Putin's war. What's terrorism got to do with it? More than you think. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist and a psychiatrist. And today I'm going to be putting my psychiatrist hat on, as I usually do, and putting it towards the Russia-Ukraine war. Now, and as it affects terrorism, or as terrorism is affecting it. You don't really hear much in the mainstream media about the connections, and there is a morass of connections, a complicated web of how terrorism, I'm talking about radical Islamist terrorism, how that relates to what is going on between Russia and Ukraine. You know, everyone's kind of concentrating more just on Russia and Ukraine and the U.S. and NATO, but there is a lot going on behind the scenes. And today I am going to give you some highlights. First of all, the biggest act of terrorism of all time is what is being called Russia attacking the Ukraine nuclear plant, because the danger of that is the radioactive fallout that would go over all of Europe, if not more countries. So if, in fact, Russia was to attack in a way that set off the nuclear reactors and there was nuclear fallout, that would, of course, in fact, be the biggest act of terrorism of all time. So let me tell you, let me start with that, and let me tell you a little bit more about that. The current status as of today. As you know, Russia attacked Chernobyl a while ago. I mean, since they attacked Ukraine, they have already attacked Chernobyl. And I'll tell you a little bit about why that is still a worry. But the biggest worry is their attack of the nuclear plant at Zaporizhia. And that just happened more recently. First they distracted us by having a building catch fire at the plant. And then they placed the staff running the facility under the Russian command, and they restricted communication with the outside world. And the UN nuclear watchdog is particularly concerned about all this. They are drawing our attention to this, as well as, of course, Ukraine and other people. But they are saying that there are 6 reactor units in this plant, and the fact that all of the staff, the Ukrainian staff of the plant, they need the approval of Russian forces to do anything. So basically, it's Russia running the plant. Russia also cut some mobile networks and some internet at the plant. So it makes it so that reliable information from the plant can't be obtained through the normal channels of communication. So it's very hard for the people, the Ukrainians at the plant, to let people know outside the plant what is going on. Russia, of course, blamed this attack. They didn't take responsibility for it. They blamed it on Ukrainian saboteurs. what else do you expect, right? Now, as far as Chernobyl, that is not, you know, even though that's a smaller plant and that's been, you know, that wasn't as active, that isn't as active, there is still concern about developments that are happening at the Chernobyl site. It was seized by Russia. the spent fuel and radioactive waste facilities at Chernobyl, which is where the world's worst nuclear accident happened in 1986. That's, ironically, this, of course, might be happening again in Ukraine. So there were more than 200 people there in Chernobyl, technical staff and guards, and they haven't left the plant since February 3rd, which was the day before it was seized. And, the UN had called for the technical staff to be rotated out on because of safety, to make it safer. But now the Ukrainian regulator has just said that it was, quote, facing problems communicating with personnel at Chernobyl. And their only communication is via email. So that is not, that is not safe either. But of course, the biggest worry is the bigger plant that Russia captured. So for example, if a missile or if anything, any kind of projectile or any, there are so many different ways in which the bigger nuclear plant could be attacked and set off. Now, that along with some ominous statements from Russia, not just from Putin, but here is one from Russian state television host named Dmitry Kiselyov. I might be pronouncing that wrong. He has a primetime show in Russia, and he opened it with an ominous allusion to nuclear war. He said, and this is right after President Putin ordered the Russian army to put its nuclear arsenal on high alert. He did that because he said that there have been unfriendly steps by the West, aggressive statements and economic sanctions imposed on Moscow by NATO. So that's why Putin did that. And now this Russian host said, why do we need a world if Russia is not in it? Now, certainly that is the kind of statement that Putin shares. So really what they're saying is, what he's saying, and presumably agreed to or would be underlined by Putin, is that, if there's going to be a war and America is going to use, or NATO is going to use nuclear war weapons, then, and such that there wouldn't be a Russia anymore, then why do we need a world, In other words, the only way to have a world, that there's worth having a world, is if it's run by Russia. So of course, Putin said a similarly ominous statement the other day. He said, when he talked about, Russia's special military operation, and he said, it would lead to, quote, such consequences that you have never encountered in your history. In other words, he's threatening nuclear war. Okay, so now a different way that, there's a saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Now, the problem is, and this has actually been stated in World War II and in the Cold War before now, and I'll give you some examples. This statement, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, is an ancient proverb. But the world has gotten a lot more complex since World War II, since the previous part of the Cold War, and now it also has nuclear weapons. So, for example, in World War II, the Allies and the Soviet Union, had some friction, shall we say, and differences, but they realized that they had a need to work together to counteract the threat of Hitler and Nazis. So Franklin, the president of the United States at the time, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, although they were, wary, concerned, untrustful of the Soviet Union, their common enemy, of course, was Germany. So they cooperated with each other. And that is how they succeeded. Now, in the Cold War prior to now, the Soviets and the Chinese were helping North Korea during the Korean War, so against us, and they helped the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War against us. And then the United States and its allied troops supported the Afghan Mujahideen, the Afghan terrorists, the Afghan Taliban, the people in Afghanistan against the Soviet Union, because, you know, so in lots of places around the world, we have been, it's been very tense because there have been very splitting hairs in terms of who's the enemy and who's the friend and who do you trust. Well, now it's a lot worse because in terms of countries, what we consider terrorist countries, it gets a lot more complicated. Now, let me save this for the next segment because it's kind of all together. But I do want to say in regard a little bit more about the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Another saying that kind of goes with this is too many cooks spoil the broth. There are too many conflicts of interest amongst the biggest players in this Russia-Ukraine war. Russia, Ukraine, NATO, the U.S., and Iran. Ah, you might be wondering, why am I saying Iran? Well, you'll find that out in the next segment, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. We're talking today about Putin's war. What's terrorism got to do with it? More than you think. And you're about to hear even more. First of all, one of my tweets, I always put my the things that I am most angry about in my tweets. So I did a tweet just recently, today, in fact, that says, Russia-Ukraine war is distraction, so we don't see Biden relying on Russian to broker new disastrous nuke deal with Iran. Iran even less trustworthy than Russia. Makes no sense. Too mind-boggling for POTUS, puppeteer, you know, President of the United States, puppeteer Obama continues to bring down America. Okay, well, I will get into that now, because behind the scenes, while we're all worried about, and not to say we shouldn't be worried, but while we're all thinking about nuclear war and Russia and Ukraine, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. In Joe Biden's first State of the Union address, which was depressing and embarrassing, he made a slip that, of course, has been repeated in regular media, social media. He said, Putin may circle Kyiv with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people. Now, he meant to say the Ukrainian people, because Kyiv is the capital of Ukraine, okay? So, and I was wondering, why did he make that, you know, everything is a Freudian slip, right? So why did he make that Freudian slip? Why did he mention, I mean, yes, Iranian rhymes with Ukrainian, but there's more to it. As you will now hear. In other words, he didn't just say the word Iranian out of the clear blue sky. There is a reason that he was thinking of Iran. Okay, while we're concentrating on Ukraine and Russia, there are talks going on in Vienna about the Iran New Deal, about nuclear weapons. You know, you'd think that they would put a halt to that while, you know, all this is going on with Ukraine. But in fact, it may well be to the benefit of Iran to not stop these talks. You know, the the treaty or the deal, the Iran deal that we had before was a disaster, because there is no way to make a deal with Iran when Iran lies. You can't trust Iran when they're saying death to America, death to Israel. They keep repeating that. You know, they didn't just whisper it. It's said loudly in the streets. So we, of course, can't trust Iran. As I said in my tweet, even less, Iran is even less trustworthy than Russia. And so why is there this, why are these talks still going on? You know, the idea of making a deal with, in regard to, Iran didn't hold to the deal that was made before. So why should we make another one? Why should we think that they're going to listen, they're going to stop producing nuclear weapons because they made a deal with us? I mean, that is absurd. So, okay. So now we have, in this meeting, just discussing this new deal, we are using as a negotiator someone from Russia, a Russian negotiator, to help us make a deal, help us and our allies make a deal with Iran. Now, this is at the same time that Russia is threatening to blow up the world. I hope you see the craziness of all of this. It doesn't seem like Biden does, however. And there's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has been calling upon President Biden to stop working with Russia in the Iran nuclear talks in Vienna. There's somebody with a brain. Because, again, it gets so complicated. Who is the friend and who's the enemy? And why would we trust Russia? Why would Russia want to stop Iran from having nuclear weapons, except, of course, unless they are also afraid of Iran using these nuclear weapons towards them? But we don't need this complication in there when Russia is, as I said, threatening to blow up the whole world. Why would we need somebody else to get into the act who we don't trust? And in fact, Secretary of State Pompeo said he sent a tweet, and his tweet was to Biden to stop partnering, quote, stop partnering with Russia to cut a deal with Iran. And he said, quote, when China and Russia are on your side of the table negotiating against Iran, you are putting America and Israel at risk. Duh, no kidding. China and Russia on your side against Iran. I mean, Iran, as I said, they have made their intentions clear. They couldn't be any clearer. And so they're not going to hold to this deal anyway. But still, we should not make it more complicated by having other people in there who we can't trust. And one day after the Russian invasion of Ukraine began, the U.S. announced that it would continue to work with Russia on reviving the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement, the agreement that was bad in the first place. Now then, Israel's former national security advisor, Meir Ben-Shabbat, said that Iran's nuclear program is a far more direct threat to Israel's security than the Ukrainian crisis. And he warned that Tehran can, quote, take advantage of the global tumult in order to make progress on the nuclear program and other areas. I mean, while you know, Russia, and then do you want to think that maybe this is on purpose that Russia is doing this now so that all these other things can be going on underneath the surface? Then we have, you won't believe all of these different ways that terrorism and terrorist countries are involved. Al-Qaeda has just published an article in their official media outlet, published an article called, in their Arabic language magazine, called America Burns 3. This is the third article that they've had, or the third issue that they've done where they have this, an article that's America's Burn, America Burns, a year of Biden's rule and a succession of setbacks. They talk about how, you know, according to Al-Qaeda, Biden's leadership is a victory for Allah. America is now viewed by America's worst enemies as weak. I mean, not that this is any, we know when we surrendered to Afghanistan that this was the beginning of the end. And yes, indeed, we have Putin, you know, started this, but started taking advantage of Biden being a weak president. But there are lots of other world leaders who are planning to take advantage as well. Let's see. They talk about the manifest victory of the Taliban. They have articles about that. They talk about how and then they're even claiming that Al-Qaeda purposely chose to target the U.S. on 9/11 in order to cause prolonged economic damage to the U.S. economy. I mean, they just go on and on about how it's, you know, they take credit for the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS, you know, bringing down America, making America weak. I mean, that isn't really the truth. It's really, I mean, we just happen to have a weak president. And it also says, quote, the most optimistic of us, they're talking about Al-Qaeda now, the most optimistic of us did not expect that the collapse would happen with such astonishing speed and on all levels. And they talk about how America is so divided, and that is also what's making it weak. Now, just to, not only is Biden, by the way, let me mention, you know, it's a little awkward to talk about Biden's encroaching dementia, but it's not like this is a big secret to the world. And I have written an essay that is that you can find in the online magazine called American Greatness. It's amgreatness.com. And the article is called, It's Time for Biden to Have a Cognitive Assessment. So it's my letter to Biden begging him to have a cognitive assessment because of his, what I've long been calling his encroaching dementia. Now, on a somewhat slightly lighter, although it may turn out to be heavier or heavy idea or issue, Russia, a star basketball player named Brittany Griner, she is a seven-time WNBA All-Star center for the Phoenix Mercury team. She went to Moscow, and she took along with her vape cartridges containing hashish oil, and they were found in her luggage at an airport near Moscow. And Russia is saying that it has her in custody, and they may well use her, use that as a, you know, to bargain over. I'm not sure how far that's going to get, but you know, in a time like this, for people to, or any time really, but especially a time like this, for Americans to go to Russia carrying things that are contraband is beyond stupid. Well, when we come back, and I'm going to talk about some more countries that are terrorist countries, like all other ways that Iran is involved, and Hezbollah, the terrorist organization Hezbollah, and Pakistan. Are also have their two cents in the war between Russia and Ukraine. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about Putin's war. What's terrorism got to do with it? More than you think. Now, I'm just telling you in this podcast about certain highlights of the ways that various terrorist organizations and terrorist countries have a role in what's going on in Russia's invasion of Ukraine and how this will all turn out. Now, I will give you a spoiler alert. I'm going to end the podcast with something that I hope is a reason for optimism after I've told you all of this horrible stuff. And I don't know, I don't know for sure, of course, that it's going to work, but I will give you one ray of hope. Okay. All right. But before that, let me continue with all the ominous things. All right. So now Iran. Iran, of course, is on the side of Russia, which, of course, again, makes the whole thing about a nuclear deal with Iran even more ridiculous. So the Iranian president, Ibrahim Raisi, encouraged the Ukraine invasion right after Putin ordered it. And then the Islamic Republic's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, continues to stir propaganda against America. I mean, he's been doing that. He didn't just start with the Ukrainian-Russian war, but he's been saying all kinds of things. He, of course, views Putin as a friend and an ally. He once said, quote, Russia and Iran need to deepen their cooperation at other levels. And he praised Putin for being a, quote, strong and responsible leader, unquote, with whom, quote, you can have dialogue and cooperation. In 2015, Putin visited Iran, which was the first time since 2007, and he presented Khomeini with an old edition of the Quran. Khomeini, all these names, all these words, Khomeini used this opportunity to again bash America and pursue a long-term alliance with Russia. So he is blaming the U.S. He's saying the mafia regime of the U.S. is what created the Ukraine crisis. Really? How did that happen? This is what he said. Quote, Iran wishes for the war in Ukraine to end, but believes the crisis is rooted in the policies of the United States and other Western nations. Quote, in Ukraine, we are in favor of stopping the war. Really? I mean, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. He said this during a televised speech, and he said that this crisis can be alleviated only if the, quote, root cause, unquote, is known. And, of course, he identified the root cause as the policies of Western powers. He said the, quote, mafia regime, unquote, of the U.S. creates, that the U.S. creates many crises around the globe, including ISIS and meddling in other nations, and by making regime changes and installing pro-West politicians. And he said the Ukraine has fallen victim to these kinds of policies. He said two lessons should be learned from the Ukraine crisis by the governments and people around the world, that the West can't be trusted and that popular support is of utmost importance. Quote, support by Western governments for administrations and politicians that have been installed by them is a mirage. And he was saying that, and he gave as an example, the chaotic withdrawal of US-led Western forces from Afghanistan as it fell to the Taliban. And he's saying also that the U.S.-led NATO is the culprit. Let's go to Hezbollah. Hezbollah, which, of course, as you know, is a terrorist organization, They are stirring up even more trouble. They are warning the Arab states, who are the anti-Iran states, the moderate states, they're warning them about the lessons that the war in Ukraine should teach them. Ready for this? Hezbollah's senior leader said, Russian invasion of Ukraine is warning to Arab states with ties to Zionist regime. They're talking about Israel. Quote, now this is a quote from the head of the Executive Council of Hezbollah. Quote, as Western powers have ratcheted up financial, diplomatic, and military pressure on Russia following its invasion of Ukraine, Iran and its Lebanese ally, Hezbollah, have been presenting Moscow's action as a pertinent warning to those moderate Arab states willing to align with Israel and the U.S. The pro-West factions in Lebanon and Arab countries that have normalized ties with the Zionist regime should consider the fate of the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, and learn lessons from developments in Ukraine. Then they're also talking about how they're trying to say that the U.S. abandoned Ukraine. They're trying to tell these other Arab, the Arab countries who are more, or who are friendlier with the U.S. and with Israel, warning them, look, the U.S. abandoned Ukraine. Now, you know, to be honest, I mean, yes, we have sent $1 billion in weaponry and needed supplies to Ukraine in the first week of the war. The U.S. continues to send more money and to do more things, but I am hoping that it is not too little too late. You know, the U.S. still hasn't canceled Russian oil. That was another tweet I did. I tweeted, Biden literally fueling Putin's war by not banning Russian oil. Biden cares more about his approval ratings going even lower if USA gas prices go up than cares about Ukraine under attack. Help Ukraine ban Russian oil. Speaker Pelosi is right on this. I never agree with Speaker Pelosi, but she actually apparently has been trying to tell Biden to stop buying Russian oil. So, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things happening that the U.S. has done, and of course, not all of it, hopefully not all of it, is out in the open. I mean, I would hope that the U.S. is doing even more to help Ukraine. But, you know, we helped persuade Germany to break its long-held policy of not exporting weapons. That Germany has sent weapons. Of course, some of them, it turns out, don't work, but whatever. Finland now wants to join NATO. Sweden has abandoned its neutrality and is sending weapons to Ukraine. Switzerland also abandoned its policy of neutrality and has frozen Russian assets in Swiss banks. And America has led by example to create a worldwide economic sanctions and encouraging other countries to send weapons and sent troops to Europe to protect NATO and so on. But so the question is, you know, did we abandon Ukraine or not? I mean, really, I think it was very, I have been saying this, really, it's very dangerous to have it's bad ops, you know, the idea that we have abandoned Ukraine, which to some extent is true, because we did too little too late, and it's left to be seen what we end up doing. But, you know, what does that tell other countries? What does that tell Poland? What does that tell Latvia? I mean, for example, you know, it's making them concerned about if you're the value of being America's friend. Okay, now here's the Pope that I promised you. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has been trying to be an intermediary. between Russia, between Putin and Zelensky. He has gone to Russia after the invasion of Ukraine. He's continuing to talk with him by phone since he came, after he came home. He's also visited German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, who he visited in Berlin, and he's talking to French President Macron. And of course, if I didn't mention it, Zelensky, in fact, Zelensky has asked him to please try to mediate with Putin. And also, Israeli Foreign Minister Yair Lapid is going to go to Latvia to meet with U.S. Secretary of State Blinken. So, you know, Israel has condemned Russia's invasion, but it's also refrained from doing anything that could really anger Moscow, because it doesn't want to jeopardize military coordination with its neighbor Syria. You know, again, friend of my friend, my enemy is friend of my friend. It's so confusing. So the Israeli prime minister is the only Western leader to meet the Russian president, to go to Russia and meet with Putin. And Israel is one of the few countries that has a good working relationship with both Russia and Ukraine, which gives them a particular position, a favorable position, to try to negotiate. Israel has given 100 tons of humanitarian effort to Ukraine and said it would set up a field hospital in Ukraine. And so these are things that I'm sure Russia doesn't like, but it's not like using weapons or giving them weapons, really. It's not as antagonistic a help as giving weapons or something like that. Well, then of course there's the this whole question of whether NATO should reject, whether the U.S. and NATO should reject Ukraine's plea for a no-fly zone over Ukraine. Now, really, it seems like a big mistake to not call it a no-fly zone over Ukraine, because of what I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast, where the biggest danger is that the Russians at the big nuclear power plant in Ukraine could very easily, they just have to, I don't know, push a button or flip a switch, however it works, to get radioactive fallout to go out over Ukraine and go through Europe and other countries. I mean, you know, the countries within a radius of this radioactive fallout. So it's a mistake on the one hand. On the other hand, if in fact a Russian plane were to fly into this, if they call it a no-fly zone over Ukraine, and a Russian plane flies into it, that indeed could start World War III. Well, not a lot of good options in this very, very confusing situation. But we just have to hope that cooler minds will prevail, and everyone needs to realize that a nuclear war is going to affect us all. Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient,
Check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.